Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. I am Jason. I got Riley. I got Kevin. We are at full capacity this week. Welcome to the show. How you guys doing today? What's up, Riley? Where were you last week? What happened?
Well, I was very upset with Kevin with the week before. He gave me a very hard time about PBR, professional bull riding. And, you know, I just thought I'd come back today because I don't know if you guys watched Monday Night Raw, but they pointed out somebody in the audience, a John Krimber, who is the number three ranked professional bull rider in the world. Wow. Oh, what a coincidence. I don't know.
So it came full circle, really.
Full circle. So I had to come back and share that with the world.
All right. Well, I mean, he is number three, so, I mean, if you ain't first, you're last. So.
Okay, thanks, Kevin, for that. If you ain't first, you're last. Anyway, all right, so that being said, welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, we are the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. On top of talking about professional bull riding on occasion, we do get to some professional wrestling. That is basically our main topic of conversation. We like to discuss what's going on currently in the world of professional wrestling when it pertains to WWE and AEW. Sometimes we sprinkle in some NXT, and maybe we'll even get a little granular and go with New Japan or something like that if we're feeling saucy. But for the most part, we stick to the major two within the U.S. because really, that's all we have time to watch, and sometimes we don't even have time to watch that.
I could have said something so bad there, but I refrained.
And on occasion, you'll get an inappropriate joke from Kevin or myself sometimes too. But if you'd like to join in our conversation, please do so by following us on X. That is our Twitter handle, or our X handle is at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LIV.
X is our Twitter handle.
Oh, we're also great.
Well, no, it's called X. It's not Twitter anymore. So our X handle is.
All right, I'm gonna take over and welcome you to the Gimmick Minute Professional Bull Riding podcast. Cassio Diaz is the number one in the world. Man, he's a rookie. He's a beast out there. Riding a beast of a bull last
week. Okay, all right.
Championship. Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Continue. At Live Your Gimmick, that's the at symbol followed by LIVYOURGIMMICK. And on top of that,
hey, you guys let me go on way longer.
I know. I had to tap out way too long. I know. I was going to wait and see how long it would take for the wheels to start spinning. You can find us on any other social media platform. Just search Gimmick Minute. We're on YouTube, we're on TikTok, and just about anywhere else. So, that being said, we got a lot to talk about, you know, because at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, WWE is going live for Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia. Now, here's my question, gentlemen. Is it going to be Friday night in Perth, or is it going to be Saturday night in Perth and Saturday morning for us? Is this taking place in the future or in the past?
Saturday night.
It's Saturday night in Perth. So Perth is that far ahead of us.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It was a legitimate question. I really didn't know.
Oh no. So the furthest behind us would be like Hawaii.
Okay. And then everything else is ahead of us.
Everything else is ahead of us basically. So like once you get to like, yeah. And then Australia, I would say Australia is like maybe I don't know about Japan. That area, but like that's like the furthest ahead of us.
So if that pay-per-view goes to midnight Australia time, we could be watching a show Saturday morning that's technically taking place Sunday morning in Australia. Yes. Interesting. That's weird to like kind of boggle your mind around. I don't know, for me it is. I don't know about anybody else, but all right.
No,
yeah. Yeah, I guess it's.
I usually watch it a different day anyway than the original.
I might actually, maybe not right from the start, but I might. Just depends if. So Ava has she's a part of Walsh Jesuit Show Choir. She plays the drum set for their competition or competition, and they have competition and alliance this Saturday morning. They actually, she actually has to be at Walsh at 5:30 a.m. and then doesn't get back till midnight. So it's like intense, like all day thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, obviously I'll be up at like 4:30 and dropping her off. I won't be able to start it live, but I, you know, might be just a little bit behind. I guess it depends. If, you know, usually I'm the type of person, I'm up. So I might just sit down with some coffee and maybe turn it on right away.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get up and watch it just because I have some work to get caught up on. So I figure it'd be a good time to maybe just sit down at my computer. I can have it playing in the background and try to get caught up on some different, like my at home work. Cause I've been on, even though I've been home all week, I've been traveling around locally, you know, doing a bunch of counts and stuff like that. So I haven't really got my at home work done. So, but yeah, I'm going to try my best. So Riley, it sounds like you're not even going to even attempt to watch it live.
Oh, I definitely am. I actually get to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I'll wake up and get to watch it.
Oh, okay. Perfect. All right, cool. All right. So now that we've determined that, before we really dive into, because I think Elimination Chamber will kind of dominate most of the show, and then we could kind of tie in Raw and SmackDown to that. So maybe a couple quick things with AEW. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch Dynamite last night. So as we're recording this is Thursday evening. So Dynamite just happened. And I don't know, man. Like, I guess it was an okay show from the standpoint. Dude, like, Ric Flair hasn't been on TV for so long, and everybody's like, why wasn't Ric Flair on TV? But then everybody's on, every time he's on TV, he seems like he's drunk or high, and everybody's like, why are you putting this guy on TV? Because when he cut that promo with Renee, he didn't seem like he was all there. Or was that just me? Or was that just...
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, at first I was kind of like, what the hell is this? But like, is it, like, as soon as he went over and went into the Young Bucks office, I was like, it's probably a work, but like, what's, you know, it's intriguing because it's like, you know, this whole thing, I'm with Sting, I'm in his corner, and you know what I mean? Like, but now he's like doing this. So it did leave at least a little bit of a plot twist for you. So, because like, I think everybody inevitably thinks like, okay, if he was still with Sting backing him 100% every single week, he's going to turn on. Mm. Right. That's the Ric Flair thing to do, Sting. So, but this kind of like makes you think like, well, okay, he's not going to turn on him, but is he going to side? What's he going to do? But like, in the end of the day, like, I don't know. It's taken away from Sting.
Yes. Yeah. Like, this whole thing's kind of becoming more about the Young Bucks.
Yes.
In a way. And I guess, you know, Sting and Darby had that kind of vignette style promo that was decent, you know, because Sting, even when Sting or when Darby came out last week, he made it about him and the Bucks, not about Sting. Like, they didn't even really talk about the attack from the week before. Like, you know, he basically did like a shoot on how the Young Bucks didn't see anything in him, and if it wasn't for Cody, he wouldn't be in AEW. And that had nothing to do with anything that happened there. So it was just kind of weird how that all went down. And then they had the promo where, you know, Darby was holding the picture of Sting and his kids. And, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it's great for Sting that they're trying to make this last match thing special for him. They've sold a bunch of tickets. But clearly the tickets that they sold have nothing to do with the story or the buildup. It's just all about the spectacle and the event. And that's kind of the problem I have a lot with AEW, is that it's less about story and it's all about the, you know, Wembley was all about Wembley. It wasn't the stories leading into Wembley. It was all about Wembley. And you can't make the event about the venue, the event, or about the circumstance. Like, you have to have something compelling to want to buy it, to tune in and keep watching it week to week, right?
Yeah,
it's his last match.
Yeah, that
I really think it's his last match.
that's what this is being billed as. I mean, I don't see why they would he would go back on that if he says this is his last match.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think there's been so much build that, last match, that it's not going to be.
So you know what? I can kind of buy that.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because that's an AEW thing to do.
Yeah.
Not to say WWE wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, the way AEW is, like, that's, you know, because, and Riley does have a good point, too, because there's so much, like, with this that it's, like, you almost don't want it to be, you know what I mean? Like, I think they could have some compelling stuff out of this, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And then at the end of the day, where it's just like, okay, if they, you know, end up losing or whatever or something, like, if Darby, let's say Darby turns on him or something like that, but then Sting's done and he goes away, like, all right, you know, you could have a little bit of a thing with them, you know what I mean? But you're not going to. So it's like, where does Darby go from here? Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too, is like, where does Darby go from here?
Yeah.
He's been built up around Sting so much.
Well, and what if they win? They're still tag champs and Sting retires. What does Darby defend him on his own? Does he find a new partner? Or, like, what happens there?
I'm assuming a new partner.
So, I don't know. And then that just makes it seem like they are building this up for the Young Bucks to beat them and send them out too, because because they think that's going to be heat, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting, I guess, but I feel like it's almost compelling for the wrong reasons. Like, you want to tune in and see what happens, but not for the reasons that you should want to tune in to see what happens. You know?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So a couple other things that happened. A lot of six-man tags, or a lot of tag matches, I guess. I guess they weren't six-mans. But FTR and Moxley and Claudio went to a time limit draw. It was a fun match, I guess. I mean, there was some pretty brutal shots taken by both teams there. No pun intended for Cash Wheeler. I'm trying to think.
Other than the botch, they botched their that finisher.
What, the Shatter Machine? Yeah. Which one? They botched the Shatter Machine? I didn't even see
it. Yeah, they like botched it, and it was just like bad, and then who was it? Cash is just like completely like, I don't know if it was his fault or like Mox's fault or whatever, but like, it just, like, he went up for it, but, like, they never even touched, basically. He just fell, like, on his back, and he just laid there. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck we do now? So Dax just improvised and just put, like, Moxley in, like, a sharpshooter or something like that. It was kind of, yeah.
I can't imagine,
like, Claudio's, like, over in the corner, I think, kind of just, like, you know, he's just down or whatever, but he's just kind of watching it going on like, what the fuck was that?
I can imagine like Cash Wheeler's probably just not in a good frame of mind right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to have his mind on other things. Riley, do you know what's going on with him?
I do not.
So a few months back, actually, it was right before their Wembley show. He got charged with pulling out a firearm on somebody in Florida. Like, basically, it was like maybe like a road rage incident. Like, this car, maybe, I don't know. I forget all the details with it. I think I read it one time, but basically he was pissed. He went up to this person, pulled out a gun, pointed it at him, right? So he eventually, you know, they had a warrant out for his arrest, and then he turned himself in, and then he went to Wembley. They did the match at, and then it's just kind of snowballed from there. And they did come back that he had an arraignment that he didn't show up for, and they are going to go forward with charges and have a trial and stuff like that for it. So, I mean, he could face some jail time here for this. Wow. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what happens, but he just seems like he's not quite in the right headspace. I don't know. It just seems like FTR to me has been a little bit off lately, and I think that might have something to do with it. The other thing I didn't get about Dynamite is how are you building for a triple threat championship match by having a six-man tag? Like, how does that make sense? Like, what's Hook and Brian Cage have to do with any, or RVD have to do with any of this?
I don't know.
All right.
Like, Hook, I can kind of see.
Yeah, he had a match with Joe, I guess, yeah.
I just don't understand, like, the, okay, we're going to put these three and these three, because is Hangman a heel or is he a face?
He's a face.
Is he?
He's transitioning. He's in the process of turning heel for sure. Because he tried to make it all about.
I think he and Swerve just swerved. Yeah. I think they just switched.
It's like a double. It was a kind of like a double turn in a way, but not done as classically as Brett and Steve Austin did it. But yeah, I mean, if you watch like the promo ahead of time, like he was making it all about him, like he's the team leader, and he was, you know, kind of being a dick to both Hook and RVD, and he just, his promos that he's cutting, like he's making it, it's almost like he's obsessed with Swerve, like he's like,
yeah,
he's got this weird obsession with him, and that's just kind of, I don't know, but. Yeah, he's definitely, if he's not already a heel, he's on his way there. But I think Riley's right. I think he's pretty much already made the switch. But they're still teaming him with the baby faces, which is weird. Yeah. But it kind of brought his heel persona out more. But yeah, dude, the crowd loves Swerve. I mean, he's undeniable. But it's AEW has never taken a championship off of somebody within, I mean, other than like CM Punk when he was hurt, but they've never taken a championship off of somebody in this short amount of time. So it's like, are they really going to take it off of Joe already? But it, at the same time though, how can you keep holding Swerve back? Cause at some point the audience might turn the other way and stop caring about it. If he never gets it.
I mean, it's great that Joe won the title and all that and everything and this and that, but like Joe doesn't need the title. Doesn't need to be a world champion. You know what I mean? Like,
but he brings so much swagger and prestige to it, though. He's one of the first world champions that they've had that I've been like, yeah, man, this guy is a world champ. Like MJF, obviously, for you know because of his character, but Joe brings more of a legitimate feel to it as well because Joe is not somebody that a lot of people would fuck with in real life. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think the triple threat match is a way to get it off of him without him losing it.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's got to go film Twisted Metal season 2.
Oh yeah, that's true. Sometime, well, with AEW schedule, he could probably do both. Yeah. I mean, he wrestles one night a fucking week. It's not like he and he doesn't even have to show up every week either. Like they could do like a remote vignette. Like they've worked around stuff like that. That's I mean that's a nice thing about AEW. That they have that option, but then at the same time, they're not getting a lot of reps, so you see a lot more botches, a la what happened to Jeff Hardy. Is that something that came up this week, or was that last week? Did you guys...
It was last week. They taped it, but, like, the show aired the night after, like, last week, our show last week.
Okay, yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah. So if you caught Rampage last week, Riley, Sammy Guevara did a 450 or Shooting Star. It was a backflip where he spun a lot, and then he came down and his knee smashed Jeff Hardy in the face. Like there was a whole thing with him and Matt flipping off Sammy after when Sammy tried to shake his hand, and it was a whole thing. But it just looked pretty brutal, but. Yeah, unfortunately, you got that a little bit more. Orange Cassidy and Mike Bennett had a good match. Orange Cassidy's had a busy week. I guess he competed like 3 different times before showing up on Dynamite.
I do like what they did with Tony Storm and
Deion Purrazzo.
Yeah, when Tony Storm was going up the ramp and they had to split right down the middle. And yeah. Like, Tony Storm's half black and white, and hers is normal. Like that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. They really haven't missed with Tony Storm. Like she's been, but that's the only women's storyline that's going on right now at all. Like there's nothing else going on. You know, they had the House of you know, the House of Black storyline with Julia Hart, with Sky Blue and that, and but that even that's kind of faded to the background. Like, there's not anything going on there to follow up with it.
I'm kind of bored already with Toni Storm.
Are you?
Like, yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's just, I'm over
she just
it.
Doesn't have, I mean, she just doesn't have a, there's no, nothing legitimate to, I don't know, like, challenge her. I understand yeah, there's maybe, some, yeah. These girls are players and stuff, and they might be known here or there elsewhere, but, like, unless they get somebody in, like, Mercedes or Sasha Banks,
mm-hmm.
like, there's just, unless they get some other couple big names, you know what I mean? Like, when Paige came in, or Saraya, like, yeah, that was great at first, but, like, that fizzled so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And unless there's somebody like Sasha, I'll just call Sasha Banks, but, like, her, and, you know, losing Jay Cargill sucked. Big time. She was the future of that company in the women's division. And so, unless, like I said, unless they get somebody like her, or there's some, not this will ever happen, like they got somebody like Tessa Blanchard or somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to think of some names that would have some, like, long, you know, legitimacy for their division. Or if they just try to, like, I don't know. The thing is, like, we talk about time, like, there's just so much going on with AEW. And the thing is, they have all these shows and all this, like, I, just with having basically two companies and sometimes working with a third company and bringing all, that's the thing too, you bring all these people in from Japan, this and that, like, you're taking time away from some of these women's yeah. matches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to see Bryan Danielson versus Nakahama Imauji. You know what I mean? Like, that you're going to see one time. Like, you know, if you're going to have Bryan Danielson, let me see him against Swerve. Let me see him against Brian Cage. Let me see him against Hook. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or make that a women's match or something, or a women's tag match. That, you know what I mean? Do women's tag matches. Do the women's should have, like, instead of a TBS title, give them, like, maybe tag titles or something. That way you get more women on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just have a women's trios. That way you get six women out there showing it off. So it's like, okay, you know, out of these six, who's one or two that could break off to be a legit threat to Toni Storm someday or something, or whoever. You know what I mean?
Now, in an interesting kind of twisted events, though, Tony Khan did hire a former WWE writer, Jen Pepperman, as vice president of content development. So a lot of people think that the addition of Jen Pepperman to the creative team in AEW could lead to more spotlight on the women's division. I guess time will tell if that ends up being true or not, but kind of interesting that that Tony Khan is going outside now looking for more creative minds to have in the room, really, other than just really him. So I think it'd be interesting to see how that turns out, but we'll see if she makes a difference. But you're right, Kevin, and it's not even on the women's side. It's just about anything with AEW. Somebody debuts, then it fizzles, and then they just kind of drowned in the background for a while. And eventually they might do something cool, but then they kind of drowned in the background for a little while. I mean, it's happened with Adam Cole. It's happened with Bryan Danielson at times. It's happened with Adam Copeland. You know, like we said last week, this whole thing with Christian has just gone on almost too long. You know, okay, let's move him on to something else. And now he's off TV for a while because of the attack that he took last week. So it's happened with a lot of guys, unfortunately. And it's just like, it might move the needle for a little bit, and then it's just kind of flatlines. And now we don't have MJF around either, so that entertainment factor is gone. So it's like, man, I'm just looking for something to kind of hold on to catch my attention. And I guess when I watched Dynamite yesterday, there wasn't really anything there to catch my attention or to keep me really interested.
A little lull right now, and it's just kind of one of those things we'll see, you know. I guess this is the way of looking at it.
Definitely. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's get off that topic and move on to WWE, specifically Elimination Chamber. So, Perth, Australia, Elimination Chamber. We got a little glimpse of Randy Orton Triple H, The Undertaker, getting off of a plane together and landing in Perth. So it's kind of interesting that Taker is going to be there. And apparently he's going to be a part of the press event that they do. So I don't know if maybe he's just there for an appearance sake or something like that. But
well, doesn't he go around and do his One Dead Man show?
He does, like, yeah. He might
be
before,
yeah.
before the pay per view.
Like, so. Yeah, he's kind of like an ambassador type person. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be like appearing to like set up a match or anything like that. I just thought, maybe he'll just make some sort of appearance or something like that.
He's just collecting a paycheck.
So, Riley, you weren't with us last week. You know, speaking of press conferences, did you get a chance to see any of the press conference with the? Did you watch that live when it happened, or did you go back and watch it with the WrestleMania press event?
Yeah, I went back and watched it.
Okay, what were your thoughts on it? Nothing big.
No. The
dynamite drop in there.
Not like you know, the four of them together. That was great, you know. But mm-hmm. everything else before that.
Well, it was really
didn't
all
mean much, yeah.
It was all about that event, so
yeah.
All right, so
it's like they just had to do filler.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, you know, I guess we could kind of let's kind of go through the card a little bit and talk about Chamber specifically, and then maybe we'll get deeper into what's going on with that storyline. So, if we're looking at Elimination Chamber, there's really only four matches scheduled as of right now, and. I gotta say I'm Rhea has to main event it, right?
I guess not. I
think so.
I mean that's a good. They have built a pretty decent story, and Nia's got the better of her and stuff like that. And it's her. It's you know it's Australia. It's her home country. Like I feel like Mommy's got to be on top on this card, right?
I mean, if it's not, yeah, either that or they open.
I don't think they would could. Open that with that.
No, I think they have to close with what, you know.
The only reason I would say they open is just it could be one of those situations. And they may not, but this is my thought. Is like get the place going like mm-hmm. crazy. You know what I mean? Like because sometimes those chamber matches, stuff like that, can drain a crowd.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like maybe you don't want them to be drained by the main. Not that they wouldn't. I'm just saying like
right. Yeah,
I'm trying to think outside of the box, but yeah, I guess so.
We haven't had a women's match main event a PLE in a while. Like it's been a hot minute since that's happened, and I feel like this would be a good opportunity for that to happen. Being that you got the hometown girl, like I think everybody's going to be there to see Rhea more than anything. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm over, like, because I think Rhea is that over to where she can main event a PLE here in the U.S. So the fact that she's in her home country, I think that I don't know. I think that would end up being a good enough reason alone to put
you
that. Think match
why they, you think that's why they put her with Nia just because they're both heels and like she's going to be such a face.
Yeah, but she gets a face reaction now, even...
No, I know. I mean, I'm saying, but it's going to be more. You know what I mean? It's going to be more.
Probably. Yeah. It normally is. And especially since Nia's got the better of her every single time that they've... You know, Nia squashed her three times now. So I think they're definitely doing a good job of building that. Like, she's almost kind of the underdog, even though she's the champion in a way.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah, you sold me. I can see it, maybe. Okay. Why not? I mean... So I would go then women's probably to kick it off.
Yeah.
And then what's the other match?
So you got the Undisputed Tag Team Championship match. It's going to be the Judgment Day defending against Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Yeah, so I'm thinking women's that men's.
Okay. Well, and then Mommy. Yeah, and then the other thing though is too you got the Grayson Waller effect with Cody and Seth. So that's another segment that they can throw in there to kind of, you know, change up the pace of the crowd a little bit. And that's another thing too, that there's been some teases with The Rock and with Roman with that too. So that it's going to be weird to see where they go with that. But before we get there, let's talk about the matches real quick. So let's start with that Undisputed Tag Team Championship match. Is it time for Judgment Day to lose the tag straps? Or they haven't really done a whole lot with them as of late. You got Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate coming up on a pretty, you know, coming up pretty hot through SmackDown. I'm kind of surprised they went with those two as opposed to DIY, but DIY already had their chance a couple of weeks ago. So I guess it's a fresh match getting Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in there. I mean, as much as I think it's time for Judgment Day to lose, I just don't know if Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are the two to do it.
I agree. I don't think. I think it's gonna be a hell of a match. I think it's gonna be awesome. Honestly, I think it. You know what? Like, honestly, I could see this match opening.
Yeah.
The show. Just because, like I said, this has such a. Again, another NXT old school, like, you know what I mean? Like, remember, Jason, when Undisputed Era used to open with tag, you know, tag title matches?
Mm-hmm.
When it was, especially when it was Roddy and
Fish,
O'Reilly,
yeah.
When they were the champs or whatever, like, they would open against the Viking Raiders or War Machine, and whoever, like, you know what I mean? Like, and just fucking, like, almost steal the show right from the get-go. So, you know, I actually like to see this one open the show.
Riley, you disagreed with something in there, didn't you?
Well, I just don't even care about this match.
Oh, okay. Well, fair. All right.
Fuck us then.
Yeah. The problem I have is I care about R-Truth.
Okay.
You know? Like, it would bring more R-Truth into the Judgment Day, you know?
Well, R-Truth, you know, is...
have him... Yeah, he's... Which I think he's going to tag with The Miz at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think they're going
to... And that's where they're going to lose, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So that's why I just don't care about this match.
I gotcha. Well, R-Truth is a part of DX now, though.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god.
Wait, who's Miz in DX though, I guess? If Tommaso's Triple H and Johnny is Shawn Michaels, who's the Miz?
Probably
X-Pac, Billy Gunn, maybe?
Yeah, I was gonna say Mr. Ass.
That would make more sense. And Truth would be Road Dogg for sure, but
listen, we could talk about we've always people talk about Mount Rushmores all the time, you know. But like, R-Truth might be the fifth of a Mount Rushmore.
He might just have his own mountain, yeah, just by himself, yeah. Just in the background, kind of like Judgment Day. Like you got him with the Live Laugh Love. You would have, yes, Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, and then behind it you would have R-Truth and just a little banner that says Live Laugh Love underneath.
But the funny thing is like, this is, like, this whole, like, I mean, this kind of persona started with the whole, like, Jimmy and all this and that and everything. Like,
yeah,
it's been going on for a long, long time. And yeah, it's still hilarious because they know when to cut it and when to bring it back type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about, the whole 24/7 championship, like, the whole thing that he had with that, too. Like, man, he's been doing it for... He came back. I think I saw something on a stat. Like, he is the longest, like, tenured person on the roster now. Like, there's nobody currently active on the roster that's been there longer than Truth right now. And I forget exactly what year it was that he came back, but he's been going pretty consistently since that time. And
yeah, that makes sense.
It's been great.
And it's funny. I think you guys just proved my point that, who cares about this match? Where's R-Truth?
All right. So you're saying that Priest and Balor are going to win then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Kevin, you feel the same way, or do you think Dunn and Bate have a chance?
I think they're going to put up a hell of a fight. But yeah, I'm going with Judgment Day.
So when Pete Dunn and Tyler Bate
lose, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I agree. It's going to be a fantastic match.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne are going to put on a hell of a show.
So if that's the case then, and I kind of feel the same way as you guys do, when Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates eventually lose the match, does Pete Dunne then beat the shit out of Tyler Bate?
Well, I hope so.
Okay. Kevin's got us blocked video wise. He's probably letting his dogs out, so maybe he'll come back with an opinion there eventually. He might have us muted.
Eventually, too. I will. Yes, I am muted.
All right.
Sorry. Continue on for a little bit without me.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to the women's Elimination Chamber match. You got Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Naomi returning, Tiffany Stratton in the Elimination Chamber, and Raquel Rodriguez. Man, did you see, Raquel Rodriguez returned on Monday Night Raw. They had a battle royal for the final spot in the Elimination Chamber for the women. So it was like the redemption spot or whatever. And all the women that had been eliminated and a few others were part of it. But then Raquel Rodriguez showed up returning to the match. Now, Raquel had been gone for a long time, and apparently she had been battling some sort of, like, weird, like, skin disease. She posted about it on social media. If you haven't got a chance, you can watch it on, I think, her TikTok and, like, Instagram and stuff like that. But it caused, like, it was almost like she would have, like, an allergic reaction without having an allergic reaction. Like, her, you know, she would get, like, hives and, like, her face would swell up like she was, like, stung by a bee or something like that. So it was really interesting. Like, and she had, like, a long journey to get rid of whatever this is.
I thought it was mostly eczema, wasn't it?
I don't know. It seemed a little bit more serious than that. But I guess I could probably pull it up on X or on one of the wrestling news sites to maybe have some more information on it. But yeah, man, I was really surprised. Like, it wasn't anything that was really talked about before, but now that she's back, she's kind of made it a point to share her story. So, you know, good on her for being able to do that and everything. And I'm glad that she was able to come out of it on the other end and make a full recovery, because she looked great. I mean, she looked as good as ever last night or on Monday night.
Yeah, that one picture she posted a while ago, like, it was like right as it was getting bad, and then like she started getting a little bit better, and it was like, holy shit. It's almost like a bad case of what the hell's the you know, where you have chicken pox, but what's
like shingles or
shingles. Yeah. Like a horrible case of shingles. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it definitely looks rough, and I guess it is still maybe affecting her. I don't know. Well, no, this is that. So, support family, keep pushing through your pain. So, and I guess it's been kind of painful for her too. So, that does suck. But you know, good for her for being back. And then, you know, Liv Morgan. So, the two main stories going into this, I think, are Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, right? Becky's trying desperately to get into that title picture. Her and Rhea have had some back and forths. But then Liv Morgan comes back and is kind of a wild card in this whole thing, because she's very adamant about the fact that Rhea took her out and this is her revenge tour, and she is on her way to WrestleMania to get her revenge on Rhea Ripley. So both are two kind of compelling. And then you got the comeback story of Raquel as well. But both of those two stories between Becky and Liv, which one wins out, right? How do we get there? How do we get there with her? Because Nia's in this entire thing too, so it's almost like I could almost see it somehow becoming a fatal four-way for WrestleMania, but then I could also see it being a singles match with any of the two options there. I'm just not sure where it would go. I mean, can you see Liv being in a title match at WrestleMania?
No. But
not right now. Not with her just coming back.
Okay.
I mean, oh, man. Personally, I think I'd rather it just be Becky and Becky and Rhea, but see them adding Liv or even Nia being involved, just depending on how this match goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. But yes, I'd rather be Becky than Rhea. And honestly, I like have Rhea win.
No, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be a big feather in the cap for Rhea Ripley. I mean, she's got the win over Charlotte, but she doesn't have that marquee win over Becky yet, and that would be something that would really cement her in there. So, no, I don't disagree with you. Not in the least bit. All right, is there anybody else in that Elimination Chamber? I mean, Bianca's in there. You got Tiffany. I mean, Tiffany Stratton, she's not... I mean, good on her for being in there, but this is like, remember when Austin Theory ran away from Brock Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber and tried to climb out of it through a hole? That's kind of, I feel like that's kind of like the Tiffany Stratton, which her point of being in this match is for some sort of maybe comic relief or some sort of like...
Hopefully what happened to Austin Theory does not happen to her.
Getting F5'd off the cage? Yeah, probably not. Yeah. But I'm not saying that's what she's going to do. She's going to try to do that, but I'm just saying, like, I think that's the reason she's in there. And same thing, like, Naomi being in there is cool, but I don't see her being in the... I don't see her winning it yet. You know what I mean? She just came back. I don't see it. But...
Yeah, I think what they have to do with Tiffany is they just have to have her have, like, a great match in there. She's gonna lose, of course, but yeah, she's gotta come out like looking like $1 million.
Oh yeah. And
otherwise,
I'm sure
she's not gonna make it. Like, she can't take an Austin Theory
the roller coaster
approach to the... Yeah, I don't think... But
fair enough.
And Bianca Belair is just kind of there.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem like she quite belongs.
I agree with you. It's almost like, you know, we need something for Bianca right now. Let's put her in this match,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm really feeling like it's going to be Bianca and Jade Cargill, right? I mean, does that seem to be kind of where it's heading? Because she's not a part of the SmackDown title picture.
I think that they are going to... those two are going to go after the tag titles. I think they're going to be a tag team.
Ooh.
Tag team titles and be tag team champions.
That'd be a dominant tag team for sure. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's what I think.
Interesting.
See, I was still expecting Jade to come out for that Battle Royal and end up winning it.
Go to the Elimination Chamber.
Came out at the end. She wasn't even in it. She just came out and threw out Raquel because... It was no surprise. As soon as you saw Raquel, you're like, oh, that's who's going to win this match.
Even though they tried to do the Chelsea Green spot with her when, or the Santino Morella spot. Yeah.
But I was looking for a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Raquel kind of was the surprise. Nobody expected her to be there, but let's see. And then
it was a surprise until she was there, and then it wasn't a surprise
of who was gonna win.
If
you're
that
right.
Makes sense.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. All right, we don't need this AEW shit up here anymore. All right, and then you got the men's Elimination Chamber match, which is gonna be Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. Kind of an interesting cast there. It seems like it's McIntyre's match. McIntyre has all of the heat build up with Seth already. I can't see anybody else being in that spot for WrestleMania against Seth other than McIntyre. I really don't.
I mean, really, on paper, no, I don't. Unless they just want to swerve the shit out of you. And, you know, maybe with Cody potentially moving to SmackDown, they move somebody to Raw. Only other thing I was thinking.
Yeah, and they just moved Kevin Owens, though, so he wouldn't move back. So who are you going to move, Logan Paul or LA Knight, maybe?
Probably LA Knight.
But I could see LA Knight and Logan Paul. I could see this event spinning LA Knight and Logan Paul into a WrestleMania feud.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's the wild... Lashley and Orton are kind of the wild cards in here, too, because you never know what could happen with them. I mean, how do you fucking beat Bobby Lashley? The dude's a monster.
Yeah,
the Final Testament.
You think they'll somehow interfere in the chamber and take him out?
So like, Lashley is kind of like, again.
Oh man, what if?
Cause then, doesn't make sense that he's in there when he was feuding with, you know.
What if the Final Testament attacks him on his way to the pod and Kyrian takes a spot in the chamber?
I would be okay with that. I mean, I'd still like to see Bobby Lashley in the chamber.
Yeah, but he'd be fun to watch for sure. But, yeah. I mean, that's a way that they could get some heat and keep building that feud, is to have Karrion take his spot. And then you get a spotlight on Karrion Kross, getting a chance to see him in the Elimination Chamber.
You know what I want to see, and I don't want to see it, but I want to see them attack Kevin Owens, take Kevin Owens' spot, and then have Karrion Kross walk in front of Lashley, how he's already in the pod.
Okay, all right.
And then those two go at it in the Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
I could just see them just coming out and just at some point during the match and just costing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finding maybe when they're letting somebody who got eliminated out, they could find their way in or something like that and ruin the match in some way, shape, or form. Like, I got a feeling they'll probably have something to do with it one way or the other.
But to your point, yeah, I mean, I would say like 2-1 odds on McIntyre winning.
Yeah. McIntyre got a win over Cody Rhodes on Monday Night Raw. That was a good match. How about that? That was a fire match to open up Monday Night Raw. Like, that was an awesome way for them to kick that show off. And it was a good match. And of course, you know, the Bloodline got the interference.
Great way to open it and a great ending to the show too. Like, that match was like intense, and with Jimmy coming out, you know what I mean. Like, so really good opening, really good closing to Raw.
And you might as well call me the wise man, because it's not a prediction, it's a spoiler. I told you guys we were getting Jimmy and Jay at WrestleMania, and how could you not see it go in that direction after how Raw?
Oh yeah. I mean, the seeds that were like planted a long time ago, but they started to bloom like at Raw. As soon as Riley and I talked about this before you got it on. Like, as soon as they were 1 and 2 at Rumble, right there.
Yeah.
So,
but there were still some doubters. I still remember some doubts after that happened. Like, I don't know if they'll go that route. Maybe they'll do Jay and Gunther. No. Jay and Jimmy, WrestleMania.
No, I'm pretty sure I said that it's going to be Jay and Gunther at the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was going to interfere. I think
We can get into eventually what we think. Like, maybe we come up 1 week here and next week or two, like a good 12, you know, match card that we think. But like,
yeah,
I could see Sammy and Gunther, and Sammy taking it from Gunther now, just because of some of the stuff they've been planting with Sammy and some of his backstage vignettes and stuff, and about how, you know, he's kind of down right now. You know, about being the champion and whatnot. So I could see Sammy ending Gunther's reign. So just another. Because, I mean, honestly, think about it. Like, unless. But the thing is, like, and go to NXT real quick. Did you catch the opening? Was it the opening of NXT? That little vignette thing? With the words.
They've been playing that kind of through the show a couple times usually, but yeah, they're like teasing.
Rumor that's Okada.
Oh, because, really?
Yeah, because you notice at the end how it pans and it almost looks like the Japanese sun in the flag.
I didn't notice that.
So there, I mean, this is just speculation.
That I heard is that it was Bo Dallas.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
Oh. It could be. I mean, I don't know. I'm just
watching. For those of you who watch this on YouTube, Kevin's world just completely shattered with that statement.
Well, no, it could be fine. I mean, you know.
I don't know. Like, I've been kind of speculating. I didn't really have a feeling one way or the other about anybody. Like, because usually, like, you see that and you're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe it's this person, or it feels like it could be this person. But really, I haven't really gotten that impression. I was just more or less, oh, who could this be? And I will say the last one, though, Kevin, I did kind of say, oh, is this how they bring in Okada? Is that who it could be? I was not thinking Bo Dallas at all, but that I saw somebody say that. So, like, I saw that speculation out there. But that's the first time I've ever seen anybody speculate on who it could be. Is just that. So, I don't know. I really don't. They've done a good job.
My point is unless there was a setup somehow of like Okada and going through at WrestleMania, like then to me going through his match is maybe Sammy. You know what I mean? Like I just can't. Just off the top of my head right now, I just can't really think of what else could we get. Like because Gunther's got to have a match at Mania.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And it's not going to be Breaker because he's going to SmackDown. So Sammy makes sense. So, yeah. I mean, I like that idea. And I like that spotlight on Sammy, too. And somebody's got to dethrone Gunther at some point. Because eventually he's got to go after the world title. I mean, it's not so much that he needs to lose because, you know, his reign's boring or anything like that. But it's like, you know, there's bigger and better things on the horizon for him. So why not start getting to that now? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all the titles right now have been held on for too long by everybody.
Ooh, I just thought of something too. What if Drew faces Seth, he wins, Damian cashes in on him?
Yeah. That was my thought too.
And you imagine how much good stuff you can get out of that from Drew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah, you're right. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, Damien's got to cash that shit in eventually. Somebody, like, who was it? Was it Sam Roberts, dumbass? Or somebody posed a question like, oh, what if Damien doesn't cash in and then we have Money in the Bank come and then all of a sudden we have two Money in the Bank winners and then one cashes in on the other or something like that? I'm like, that can't work because the contract, it's 1 year. You have 1 year to challenge it. So you don't have you don't get overtime if you don't cash it in.
As soon as the bell rings for the Money in the Bank match, it's expired.
Yeah,
and a new one is.
Created. That would be funny though if like literally the match was about to start and then all of a sudden you know you see Priest like throw like let's say it's like Seth who's the champion still, he throws Seth through the curtain and starts beating him up with the briefcase and rolls him into the ring. And then gets the referee and then pins them 1, 2, 3. And then the Money in the Bank match starts like right after that. Like they're all in the ring ready for it to happen.
It'd be hilarious.
Like, hold on a second, wait. All right, anyway. We saw an Elimination Chamber. We are, aren't we? I don't even remember what we were talking about. All right, so outside of Seth, you know, Logan Paul, LA Knight, maybe that spins out. Like, I don't see Logan Paul winning the thing, right? Like, I think he's just there because they're in Australia and they want to show him off.
Yeah, in spots.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he'll be a spot monkey in that for sure. I think they just like putting him in shit to see, like, what he does and how he almost kills himself, really. And then we talked about... Oh, go ahead.
I think just to build in his match at WrestleMania against, if it's LA Knight or whoever it's against, but
yeah,
I think that's the beginning of that.
Yeah. And then, of course, what I think will be the main event, but it might not be, we're going to have Rhea Ripley in her home state, her home country of Australia, going up against Nia Jax. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a good match. I think people will be surprised of how good of a match it's going to be because Nia can work way better than what people think she can. And when you have an opponent like Rhea and the story that they can tell in the ring, I think it's going to be a fun match. I really do. But I think Rhea's going to win. I mean, as hot as Nia is right now and as much heat as you could get Nia for beating Rhea in Australia, I mean, that would be a Vince McMahon thing to do. Like, if Vince McMahon was still in charge of creative, I would say Nia Jax is winning that match 100%. Right. But because it's Triple H and he doesn't make decisions based off of that, I gotta say Rhea will probably still end up being champion, but by the time that show ends, she'll get her moment. to stand in front of her. You know, Rhea must pose, basically. She'll get her moment with that home crowd after the match.
Yeah. And then Sasha will come out.
But she's showing up at Big Business in Boston. Would that be funny if, like, because nobody knows for sure what's going on with Okada. Nobody knows necessarily for sure what's going on with the Mercedes. What if everybody has it confused and Mercedes comes back, or Sasha comes back to WWE and the Big Business is about Okada? But then why is it in Boston? And then they also have, like, the font is very similar to, like, a Sasha Banks type font for the show and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's got to be her showing up.
Plus, like, I don't know. Okada seems like one of those type of people that it's like, at this point, he's almost like an AJ Styles. Like, where do I need to go? I need to go to WWE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, been in every other company. He's worked with AEW. He's worked with TNA. Not really for them. You know what I mean? So, like, a legend in New Japan. So, like, I don't know.
I mean, Okada could go to AEW and be like Kota Ibushi and ride a bike down the ramp and tap somebody with a pipe.
Oh my god, that's another thing too. Like, Kota Ibushi is such a great talent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, I don't know. I almost feel bad for Kenny Omega.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
That's another one too. It's like, God, really wish like Omega would just like end up not resigning and going to WWE. You know what I mean? Like him or even Ospreay. I know Ospreay signed with AEW, but it's like, God.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is WWE technically, in a way, I don't want to say they have less shows and stuff, but like, let's say they have less shows, less titles, obviously. But I feel like you could put so much more talent on WWE that it all get utilized so much.
Oh yeah, because they'll have a story. Yeah. They'll have a purpose for the matches that they're having. They'll have a purpose for what's going on. So the in-ring story that they tell will make a whole lot more sense and be that much more. People would be that much more.
But you imagine like rebranding NXT even more to have. Imagine you had like a lot of these guys like on your NXT show, but like, guess what? They're still going to participate at like not only NXT pay per views, but like, okay, they'll still be at WrestleMania or still be at like a Backlash. You know what I mean? Like, you can still showcase some NXT matches more and more. So instead of like this show, like, okay, we got four matches, a fifth match could be like a high profile NXT match. You know what I mean? Like, especially if you have like veterans on NXT.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
Kinda, I think so.
No, I'm just
I
saying.
I followed like, where you're going with that, I guess.
So, like basically, what I'm saying is like.
So you think, okay, Will Ospreay should be in NXT?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you had all this different, you know what I mean, all this big talent and stuff, and like you had to find places or whatever, you could broaden NXT even bigger. Does that make sense? I don't know. Never mind. I'm just rambling. It's late. I'm tired.
Seems like it.
This shit.
All right. Well, let's go ahead then and discuss what else is happening. So there's a Grayson Waller effect, and supposedly it's going to be Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are going to be a part of it. So Grayson gets to travel all the way to Australia, which is his home state, and instead of wrestling, he's going to host a talk show, and Cody, instead of wrestling, is going to appear on that talk show. Now, we had the whole thing at the WrestleMania presser, and then we had kind of a little bit of a break. Then we got Monday night where Cody got to say his piece, and he and Seth had that whole back and forth. And then we got to Friday night SmackDown, where The Rock officially appears with the Bloodline, or joins the Bloodline, or did he, right? Heel Rock is back in full effect, and I'm here. Dude, I love... The fact that, like, you have to appreciate the fact that The Rock will just go with what the crowd wants, right? Think back to WrestleMania 18, his match with Hogan. If you've never seen that match, go back and watch it, because going into that match, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, a part of the NWO, was supposed to be the heel. The Rock was supposed to be the babyface wrestler in that match, but the crowd was so pro Hogan that Rock switched on a dime and started working that match heel and completely changed it and called it in the ring. So, and that's exactly what he did here, right? It started with his appearance on the McAfee show. The Cootie Crybabies, you know, the chicken nugget thing, the whole thing. That's how it started. Then you had the WrestleMania presser, and then
I still can't get over that. Cody's got to finish the story. Hey, honey, want to go have sex? No, I can't. Cody's got to finish the story. Yeah.
So it started there, and then it continued then on Friday Night SmackDown. And then you had Roman come out. You know, he got to say what he wanted to say. Then The Rock came out, and he hit that thing. You know, first he butters up the crowd. Oh, we broke an indoor attendance record. You know.
The park track. Did you see the POVs of Corey Graves and Wade and Wade Barrett?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, their live reactions to it.
Yeah.
They were, like, 10-year-old kids watching, like, Raw's War 98.
And that's what it felt like, man. Like, I remember, I think I sent it in a group chat, and I said it's like we just fell into a time portal back to 1997. I mean, that's what it felt like. Like, he came out with the, even though it was sleeveless, he had the $10,000 shirt on, you know. And mm-hmm. I believe this one actually probably cost him about that amount.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Somebody posted a picture where they said Rock with all this Versace drip, and he replied to it, and he goes, "Nah, man, that was a Goodwill drip or something like that." Like, he would go buy those shirts at, like, just some, like, thrift store or something like that, and wear them and call them $10,000 shirts. But yeah, I mean, like, it was great. And dude, there's so many people online. Oh, Rock's lost his fastball. Like, that was a terrible pro. He's a freaking heel. And that was a classic Rock promo.
There were so many great innuendos in there, because there was different angles you didn't see. But, like, when he was talking about, "I'm going to make sure you don't leave WrestleMania as champ," you know, mm-hmm. as champion, and he was technically pointing at Roman, and, like, when he didn't hold up the one, he held up an L. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
was that either intentional? Maybe not. But guess what? It makes you think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was intentional. Who knows?
Yeah.
So there's so many, again, so many things. And he's embracing, at least he's embracing it to where it's not like, oh, well, this isn't going to happen. It is going to be me and Roman. You know what I mean? Like, they're not at least initially making you think, like, it's not going to be Cody and Roman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's everybody's worry. And so, yeah, again, buckle up, because it's just, you know what I mean? There's going to be so much more to come out of this.
Yeah. Riley, what did you think of The Rock's promo on SmackDown?
Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
I still have no idea what's going on. Like, I have no idea if they flipped this on a dime. Like, was this originally supposed to happen? Was Cody even, like, going to face Roman? Was that even going to be in the books? Or did the fans turn it? And Cody was originally going to take on Seth. And now, so I have no idea.
So this is, so the story out there, and believe it or whatever, I don't know. Maybe some of it's true, maybe it's not. So supposedly Cody was told weeks before The Rock came back that this was going to happen. And that they approached The Rock about wanting to do him and Roman, but they wanted to do it at a later date. And they wanted Cody. It was going to be Cody and Roman, and it was going to be Seth and Punk, obviously. But with Punk getting hurt, and then The Rock supposedly said, "No, I want to do me and Roman at WrestleMania." Trying to use maybe some of his on the board stroke or whatever. So then they were going to do Cody and Seth at WrestleMania. But then when the whole "We Want Cody's" thing happened or whatever and all that, and, like, Triple H kind of supposedly had a meeting with Rock saying, like, "You got to listen to the crowd, and, like, it's not happening. I'm sorry," basically. He's like, "It's you and Roman is not happening at WrestleMania. It's Roman and Cody." and he conceded to it.
Yeah.
Because he did listen to the crowd. He did realize, okay, that, and then, like, okay, because he is smart enough to think, all right, what, how much money can we make out of this now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, so, yeah.
Because the thing is, here's the thing. It gets you guessing. It gets you to the point where it's not predictable, because let's face it, if it was a true setup of just like Cody and Roman, you're thinking, all right, there's a good chance Cody's going to win, or that he, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to win, but maybe he doesn't. But then when the whole thing with Rock got involved, you're like, okay, well, if it's going to be Rock and Roman, you know Roman's retaining. But now they shift it back to Cody. It's like, well, is Cody guaranteed to win? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you're still guessing.
Yeah, so, right.
Because the reason why it's better this way is because if it was Roman and The Rock, plain simple, Roman's winning, and then if they had to set up for, like, you know, we had talked about here, like Roman and Cody at SummerSlam, well, that's pretty obvious that Cody's probably going to win at SummerSlam. Now it's like, all right, are they going to just kind of shift back to, is Roman still going to retain, or are they just going to say, you know what, who cares about Hogan's record or this record or whatever, like, all right, it's time to end it here.
So I saw a stat today that as of today, Roman's title reign has lasted longer than the entire Attitude Era.
Yes.
By one day.
Which is insane.
So
I actually saw somebody posted a I'll see random things on X and stuff, and like somebody posted today, like the match where he at Payback.
Yeah,
and it's like crazy to sit there and like, oh my god, I still remember watching. And like, that was the Thunderdome era, and it was like just sitting there watching, watching back that stuff. It's like,
it's weird. It's like watching a different,
I don't even remember. Like, it's like, it's so, it's insane. Somebody else posted like the Firefly Funhouse match.
Yeah,
with Cena.
Yeah,
and I was watching that.
I still watch that every now and again because it was just so fun.
crazy.
I lost my train of thought. What was I gonna say? We were talking about Rock. Oh, and Riley, to the question that you had asked that Kevin kind of answered, my theory behind it is all this was done on purpose to distract everybody from the Vince McMahon lawsuit. Because as soon as all this shit happened, nobody talked about that anymore. Nobody's even brought it up or mentioned it since all this went down. So I think it was just a calculated plan.
Until people are starting to come out about the whole Action Massaro suicide and Stephanie McMahon and that stuff.
There was a little bit of that too, but even that's kind of tempered down. Because all that's been out before. Like, that was talked about before. That story has been told already. So it's like everybody just tried to dredge it up and rehash it. And it's just unfortunate. Like, unfortunately, Ashley's not here anymore. So you kind of have to take the word of a person that was a friend of hers that to kind of corroborate the story and things like that. And, you know, if that truly happened to her, that's really fucked up and it shouldn't have happened. And it's just sad. It really is. And it's, you know, I think, you know, WWE in that situation was in a really tough situation, but they made the wrong choice. Like, they should have done something and got help and held the people accountable that put her in that situation and took advantage of her like that. But, you know, but at the same time, when you're going against the US government, you know, what are you supposed to do? Right. It's like, it's such a no-win situation there, but the person that really lost in that situation would have been Ashley Massaro. Riley, I don't know you probably don't know quite what we're talking about, but you can figure it out with a quick Google search. I don't really want to hash about it too much because we're talking about other things. But yeah, I think a lot of it just was a distraction, and I think they made a big spectacle out of it using The Rock as a catalyst, because I think they want The Rock and Roman. I think they want that match to happen. I think it needs to happen. But I don't think you can deny the popularity of Cody. And even if they did underestimate how over Cody was, they definitely, once that crowd reaction happened, there's no way you can deny it. It's very similar to the Yes Movement, very similar to Kofi Mania. Now, they got their moment at WrestleMania. Like, that ended with Kofi winning. That ended with Bryan winning. Now, you know, could it happen for Cody? And when you have The Rock saying, you know, I'm going to make sure that you don't win, and the whole thing there, you know, maybe they're really trying to make you think it's not going to happen and that Roman's going to retain just to kind of get that surprise. Because, you know, you don't want to know, but at the same time, like, Cody is the new face, right? Cody is the man right now.
He you know what? The thing is, he's almost getting to the point where he's like a modern day Austin, but not, you know what I mean? Not Stone Cold, but like he's, you know what I mean? Like, I just think of like when the show goes off the air and he's out there and he's talking to the crowd. And like last week, he, you know, he brought CM Punk out at Raw. And,
which is
awesome to see CM Punk like still on the road here and there, you know, as he's going to rehab. You know what I mean? So good on him. It seems like that's hopefully going to be a good thing. And, but like, you know what I mean? Just like all the stuff he does, and he does all the house shows and everything. He sits there for hours before and after, like signing autographs and taking pictures. And somebody said at one house show, he went around like and signed every single, like anybody that wanted an autograph, like at the show after he, like when he got done with his match, like he just went around the entire ringside and took pictures and signed autographs for like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like he is, yes, he, to me, he has the chance to be the new Austin, just not like the beer drinker, middle finger, you know what I mean?
And the thing about it is, it's him, right? Like, this is genuinely who this guy is. He's almost living the gimmick in the most positive way possible. Because usually when you say that, it's like a Ric Flair who, you know, he portrays himself as this flamboyant, you know, drinker, partier, womanizer, but that's really him. He lives that gimmick, right?
Yes.
And so it's usually in a negative connotation, but in this case with Cody, it's very positive. Like, he does live that gimmick. Like, he is that persona that he, you know, that's what he protrudes in his everyday life.
The funny thing is, too, he's so many, like, stereotypical wrestlers wrapped into one. Like, he's the major baby face that can be like the Austin and be out there with the crowd and entertain the crowd until it's midnight. But he also dresses the part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he suit and tie, he looks professional, he talks professional, he does all the media. And then on top of that, he's a great promo, he's a great worker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he is like a total package.
He really
and
is.
The thing was, it's amazing how like all these, you know what I mean? It's, that's why I'm semi gonna kind of compare him to Austin, because, you know what I mean, all these years, yeah, sure, he was in WWE before and everything, but he never found his way. And, you know what I mean, like finding your way and going here and going there, and it's amazing how like a person come out, boom, and there he is. So
yeah, Riley, you got anything to add to that?
Nope.
All right. Yeah,
I'm fading fast.
All right. Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna say we've been over an hour now. It's after 11 o'clock, so it really isn't too much else. But, you know, we talked a little bit about what's gonna happen. So it's gonna be interesting to see. Like, I just found it interesting. Rock was talking about, you know, you had Roman pulling Grayson Waller aside, kind of giving him some marching orders on SmackDown. They're gonna have Cody on the Waller effect. And then I saw a TikTok with Roman talking to Paul Heyman. He goes, wise man, where's Elimination Chamber? And Paul told him, he goes, Australia? I don't have to go there, do I? He goes, no, my tribal chief, you don't have to go. All right, good. Yeah. And then he talked a little bit about like the expectations for Grayson Waller. And then Rock kind of had his own social media thing where he was like, oh, Cody's going to be on the Grayson Waller effect. He better not talk trash. If he talks trash about The Rock, you better let The Rock know. I'm going to fly over there right away. And somebody's like, well, wait a minute. How are you going to get to Australia before the show ends to beat him up? And he was like, don't you worry about that. The Rock has his own private jet and it flies faster than anything you've ever, like, you know, and it's like, So then I'm like, well, is this a swerve? Are Roman and The Rock really going to be there? And are they going to jump Seth and Cody? And maybe that leads to a potential tag match? Or is this going to be kind of where they set that? Because I feel like, I honestly, this is the way I'm starting to feel. And this will be kind of the last thing. And this is where I want to kind of button it up at. I honestly really feel that night one is going to be a tag match between Seth, Cody, The Rock, and Roman. And then night two, Roman and Cody will have their match, and Seth and Drew will have their match. But I really feel like that's where this is headed, and I'm curious if you guys are kind of getting that vibe now too.
I could see that. I don't know if that's what they're gonna do, but I totally could see that happening.
And it'd be a good first match back for Rock. Maybe not putting him in a singles match because I'm getting the feeling The Rock is here
especially if The Rock and Roman lose, because that could set up some tension for night two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could set up some tension with, because I think they'll eventually turn Rock babyface because the Bloodline will beat him down. You know what I mean? Or
could they turn Roman babyface?
Yeah, they could. Someday. They could. So. Be interesting to see. I'm curious, but. But yeah, I just, I don't know, I just get this feeling. And also, too, you know, like I said, Seth would be a little bit more protected being in a tag match. But then if he has to wrestle a single match against Drew the night before, but maybe if his knee isn't 100% healed by then, that's a good way to get Damian to cash in on him after something like that, if he's not able to go, and then Priest takes his place night two against Drew. You know, I don't know. You know, there's so many different angles that we could go with here. Either way, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So keep your eyes peeled. Hope everybody enjoys Elimination Chamber. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Please send us your feedback either on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on X at LiveYourGimmick. Then you can also leave a comment on YouTube when I eventually will post this, since we are live and in person this week. You can see our beautiful faces if you want to watch the YouTube feed, and you can find that just by searching Gimmick Minute on YouTube. But that's really all I got. I got Kevin and Riley both looking like they're about to fall asleep on me, so we're going to go ahead and close this out. Do you guys have anything else that you'd like to add before we say goodbye to our lovely listening audience here?
God, no.
Well, since you asked.
Oh, jeez, here we go. do you have your one note for the week, Riley?
I'm just thinking Indy Hartwell is going to cost Rhea Ripley the title. Okay. And she's got to make an appearance, right?
Did you guys catch the Nikki Cross sighting on Raw?
No.
So they showed the frame of the building from the outside, and it was raining, and she was just slowly walking through the rain in front of the building. So there you go.
I don't know what
there's a resume and main event right there.
Yeah. Yeah, like what the fuck are they doing with Nikki Cross?
Yeah,
right. Story.
But anyway, all right. Well, that's all I got. Thank you guys for listening this week. You know, hopefully you enjoyed Elimination Chamber. We'll be back next week to talk about everything that happened, and hopefully we'll have a clear path of where we're going on this road to WrestleMania. And, you know, maybe we'll say something about AEW too while we're there. But thanks again for listening to this week's episode of the show. For Riley and Kevin, I am Jason, reminding everybody out there in the beautiful internet wrestling community to be a fan, but always live your gimmick, just like Cody. Goodbye, everybody. Man, I held on for that. Nothing. I expected some sort of witty chirpiness. You guys are that sleepy.
Yeah.
There could have even been snoring at the end. I would have expected that.